Overcoming Loneliness in the C-Suite. It's episode 4017 of Grow Great, the podcast. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Grow Great, the podcast. You can find the show notes and everything that you need over at the website, growgreat.com. A late one night, he sits in his office, staring out of his sixth floor window. Only the cleaning crews remain. Well, the security guard, he's posted down at the desk downstairs, plus all the thoughts and the concerns and the anxieties that accompany this CEO who is peering out into the night sky and all these surrounding buildings. 3 years into the job, he figured he was bright enough to have figured it out by now. I mean, after all, he has successfully navigated most every body of water that he has stepped into, usually with moderate ease. This is different. This is very different. At the height, the air is thinner, along with the company. And to be fair, he is surrounded by many people, more people than he's ever been surrounded by before. Sometimes, you know, nothing is as lonely as a crowd. When he was the VP of marketing, he had peers. In fact, he had six of them. They were the inner circle of leadership. And he could always walk down the hall to his close friend, the VP of engineering. They were operating in very different worlds, came from completely different backgrounds and skill sets, but they were always united in their quest to move the business forward. And they wanted to climb the ladder themselves. And because they came from such different areas, marketing and engineering, they never did really have that competitive kind of a thing, you know? Tonight, he's thinking about that friendship and how at an hour like this one, they would likely be sharing coffee, maybe something stronger. But that was then, this is now, and now he is alone. Tonight's anxiety is driven by a recent lawsuit over alleged patent infringement. The legal team, they have assured him, it's really more of a nuisance than substance, but, you know, they are attorneys, and as attorneys are wont to do, they have warned him it could be a prolonged battle. Now, expense is one consideration. It is not tonight his primary consideration. Instead, it is the loss of years of development and the potential market losses of a new product that has been the focal point of all product development in the last 30 months. There are risks, big risks, of hitting the pause button on the project. I mean, what if the suit drags on? What if they lose? What if we don't lose? I mean, all the same questions arise when considering the risk of moving forward. And it could be, in this part of the country, here in Texas, it could be like throwing more money down a dry hole. In the oil business, after you drill for a while and you never hit anything, you got to come to the conclusion it's not worth drilling anymore. It's best to just plug this hole and move on. And there are the sales and there are the profit projections that are hinging on this project. There's nobody to be mad at. I mean, not his team, at least. He has reviewed things with engineering. He's reviewed things ad nauseum with product design and the legal team. The consensus among everybody is that this lawsuit is ill-founded by a company with a history of patent troll behavior. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It has to be fought. It has to be given serious consideration. Tonight, he's giving it the umpteenth hour of worry. Okay. He's calling it consideration, but he's worried. In 2 days, he's going to assemble the team again for yet another meeting. He's forgotten how many of these meetings he's had. And they want to know, what do you want us to do? On his desk are three bound proposals, one from each department, engineering, finance, and legal. Smart people. All these people, smart people. But none of them bear the responsibility that is on him tonight to make the decision. To whom shall we go? In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, the Apostle Peter, he answered the Lord's question when the Lord asked, will you too go away? In other words, will you leave me? And Peter answered, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. John chapter 6, verse 67 through 69. You know, many times as leaders, we find ourselves asking the same question. But unlike the Apostle Peter, it's because we have no place to go. We have no one to whom we can go. And so too often the answer is nobody. There's nobody to whom we can go. We simply must go it alone because the burden of such a decision, it belongs to us. Friends, family, team members, outside advisors, books, journals, buddies. I mean, like most in the C-suite, he sometimes stretches the boundaries of input, hoping for an epiphany. And it really is less about helpful input or feedback or advice. It's more about hoping for some spark of his own enlightenment. No, hardly ever happens, but, you know, it can make him feel like he's giving it all he's got. And that's what he's thinking as he's peering out the window tonight. It's about 9:45 p.m., and he smiles just slightly because he hears the voice of his grandmother. She's long gone. But in his imagination, he's hearing her say, be careful what you wish for. From before he entered an MBA program, he had his eye on the top rung of the ladder. I mean, that's what drove him to get his MBA. And here he is barely 36 months in, and he's afraid. It's a longer fall from this height, with way more on the line for himself, for the company, for his family. It's 9:45. He needs to go home. His wife knew that he'd be especially late tonight. She also knows why. She's at home. She's wrestling her own mind gnomes because she knows that she's not equipped to help him professionally. And sometimes, too frequently for her liking, she's not allowed to help him very much personally during these kinds of hours because, well, he grows increasingly quiet and reserved. Preoccupation with work. It's wrecked more time off than she can remember. It's wrecked more time off than he can remember. It's the price that the whole family has paid and seems to be willing to pay. Be careful what you wish for. He logs off the computer at 9:57 p.m. He locks down his desk. He puts these three proposals in his backpack along with his MacBook, and he heads out the door. And on the way to the elevator, he calls home. I'm heading home. Can I pick up anything? Asking his wife. No, I'll snack on something when I get home, he tells her. Yes, she will be awake. She will be waiting for him when he arrives because it's what she does. His anxiety spreads. I mean, it's contagious. It spreads to people that care about him. This scene and millions like it are repeated daily all over the world. And the size of the company doesn't matter. Okay, add another zero, maybe three, maybe four. Plug in a comma here or there. It doesn't matter. I mean, the scale of the problem, that might grow as the dollars involved grow, but problems are problems. Doesn't matter if you're running a $2 million enterprise or a $200 million enterprise or a $2 billion enterprise. Anxiety doesn't compute like calculators on our iPhone. The business owner who is barely scraping by earning $37K a year can't be judged on having lower worries simply because he's not running a multi-million dollar company. Leaders at every level know loneliness. Endurance isn't the same as overcoming. As leaders, we grind it out. I mean, that's what all successful people do, right? Some challenges must be endured because, well, they can't be overcome. I mean, not every problem has a solution. If you don't believe me, just go visit any hospital where there are terminal patients. No answer. It just is what it is. Or maybe we have problems that have to be endured until they can be overcome. Real pain is failing to overcome an issue that otherwise could be overcome. Now, that's the real shame of it all. Sometimes there are answers to help us. But at 9:45 or at 9:57 at night, staring out of our sixth floor window by ourselves, we can't find it. We just can't find it inside ourselves. And we're often lonelier than we need to be because we're stuck alone with ourselves. There's nobody to help us. Nobody to help us sort it out. Nobody to help us figure it out. And the pressure mounts. Well, we mount the pressure. The pressure mounts in our mind to do this heavy lifting alone. We're the leader. It's up to us. Everybody expects us to find the way. They expect us to figure it out. In 2 days, they're expecting me to give the decision. And yet, here's the truth of it. Here's kind of the irony of it all. None of us are judged or rewarded on our loneliness in getting it done. I've held these jobs. You hold these jobs. Have you ever been judged based on you getting it done in the loneliest fashion possible? No, me neither. No, instead, we're judged on getting it done. Our careers, our lives, our employees, our family, nobody cares. Nobody cares how we find the solution. Just find the solution. We confuse outcome with methodology, and in the process, we vex ourselves more and more. There are solutions. Quite a few of them, actually. Months ago, I embarked on what I firmly believe the best one. That's right, the best one. I think it's the very best decision-making tool on the planet for the C-suite, for the CEO, for this lonely guy sitting in his office at nearly 10 o'clock at night. Vistage peer groups. Groups assembled by a Vistage chair. Hello, that would be me. With just one aim, to help each member grow and to help each member grow their business. It's not about social networking. It's not about passing out business cards. It's not about lead generation. It's not about motivational speeches. It's not about therapy. It does result in powerful networks. It is inspirational. It's also therapeutic, but it's hardcore business building and growing as CEOs. It's the premise of all my work. Coaching or consulting, it doesn't matter. And it simply is this: growing leaders grow enterprises. Growing leaders grow enterprises. It still is about people doing the best work of their lives. And that doesn't happen when we are alone. It happens when we open ourselves up to the possibilities made available by people committed to helping us purely. Because they know that we're there to help them too. No other agenda. That's how you overcome loneliness inherent in the C-suite. You want to learn more? I'm going to give you a URL. Bula, B-U-L-A, network.com/Vistage, V-I-S-T-A-G-E. Better yet, just go to the website, growgreat.com. Up in the navigation, you'll see a tab that says Vistage, and it will tell you everything you need to know. If you happen to be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I'd love to talk with you. If you're not, I'd still love to talk with you. I'll hook you up. There's just no reason, there's absolutely no reason for a CEO to not overcome the loneliness in his office, in making really tough, difficult decisions. When there are groups of people who have been assembled purely to help answer this call. No encumbrance, tethered for no reason other than to serve and to help. It's a great, great thing. And you really owe it to yourself. You owe it to your team. You owe it to your life. You owe it to your family to check it out. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is growgreat.com. It's also the name of the podcast. It is about building a great business. The best way I know to do that is to build great leaders, because great leaders grow great businesses. I'm glad you're here. I hope you'll stick around. I hope you'll go back and check out some previous episodes. Tell a friend. Greetings from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. My name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio.